You know how everything's a subscription now? Music, movies, even socks. I swear if I...
To continue this ad, please upgrade to Premium Plus Platinum.
What? No, anyway, Blue Apron...
This is a pay-per-listen ad. Please confirm your billing.
Oh, that's annoying. At least with the new Blue Apron, there's no subscription needed. Get delicious meals delivered without the weekly plan.
Wait, no subscription?
Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Congratulations on getting through your 9 to 5. Thanks so much for listening. It is The Drive. We have a lot to get into in the show. I did this at the top of the show. I feel it's very important to do this at the 5 o'clock hour. I want to apologize to you guys for how we handled the beginning of the 5 o'clock hour yesterday. It was a little bit clunky. I went back and I listened to it, and there was a better way to execute the 5 o'clock hour than I did. And we can't talk about accountability and then not be accountable. So I messed up. The next time this happens, I talk to my boss. I talk to Rob. I know where I messed up. It will not happen again. I cannot start the 5 o'clock hour without apologizing for how we handled the Rashee Rice thing in the very beginning when I didn't really know all the rules of what we could say and not say. That's my fault. So let's just get that out of the way. All right, there are a lot of things I would like to talk to you about now that the Chiefs have acknowledged that this is a thing. Let's talk about it. So, for those of you that have not seen it yet, I can tell you exactly what happened. Rashee Rice right now is being accused of domestic violence. There was a post yesterday on Instagram from his ex-girlfriend. And in this post, she had a lengthy caption. I don't have enough time to read it to all of you. And there were 21 pictures attached to it that were showcasing bruises, scratches, property damage, a lot of these things. Now, the core of what I said still holds true today. This is not our first rodeo when it comes to this topic. It's not our first time having this conversation around a Chiefs wide receiver who was accused of these kinds of things. So for right now, my stance is going to be, I'm going to sit back and I just want to see how this situation plays itself out. So this is not me saying that I think the Chiefs need to cut Rashee Rice. The NFL doesn't need to put him on the commissioner's list. Right now, there's no football action happening for the Chiefs. He's not getting paid currently by the Chiefs. There's no scheduled activity right now for the Kansas City Chiefs. They don't need to do anything right now. Investigate, talk to who you need to talk to, gather up more information. I am willing to just sit back and say, right now, the only information that I have on this story and you have on this story is a singular Instagram post. Now, it is a very damning Instagram post. I mean, one of the most damning ones that you could potentially have. Let's just see how things play themselves out. And I don't think that it is responsible for someone in my position to jump to any conclusion solely based off of this one post. But what I do feel very comfortable talking about when it comes to Rashee Rice, there is the, I guess, off the field aspect of it and then the on the field aspect of it. Let's dive into the conversation. At some point, at almost any phase in your life, once something starts to go wrong, you have to make an evaluation if this thing is worth the trouble that it is causing. This is not me assuming that Rashee Rice is guilty. But we can just go off the facts of what has happened over the last 18 months. He has been charged with a felony for drag racing, driving through the streets in Dallas, Texas, and causing a serious car accident. He was accused of physically assaulting a photographer who took pictures of him in the club. And right now there is an Instagram post by somebody who says they were in a relationship with Rashee Rice and is the mother of two of his children, saying Rashee Rice physically abused me. For the last 18 months, we have not talked about Rashee Rice, the football player. For the last 18 months, it has either been off the field issue or recovering for an injury. And I don't say this to diminish what is going on. I don't say this to be callous. I really don't. That's not where this next comment is coming from. Rashee Rice is not worth all of this. He is not worth us never discussing him as a football player and only talking about the things that he is doing off the field. The Chiefs got to make a very serious decision, even regardless of this. He is entering the final year of his contract. You got to make a decision. A, is that a guy that you want on your team for this upcoming season? Or now, are you going to sell and trade him away for draft picks? Is this a player financially that you want to reinvest into and coming off his rookie deal on a second round rookie deal? Do you want to make him one of the highest paid receivers in the National Football League? They got a lot of questions surrounding Rashee Rice. And so far, man, we're really removed, I would say, from positive feelings about Rashee Rice. We're really removed from some of the hope and optimism when it comes to Rashee Rice on the football field. I'm not talking about when he was about to get back healthy and we were arguing whether or not he was a top 10 receiver in the league. I'm talking about proven production on Sunday. I'm talking about you going up there and proving on the field that you were one of the best receivers in the National Football League. Man, it's been a while since you've done that. It's been arguing about lawyers and court cases and plea deals and 30 years in jail and community service. It's been way more conversation about that than what your production is. And I wonder if the Chiefs are going to reach a point this summer, even if, let's say, Rashee Rice gets exonerated. Let's say that this was all made up. Man, for the first 3 years of your career, it's been nothing but nonsense. Are you willing to roll the dice that the next 12 months, the next 24 months, 36, however much longer Rashee Rice is on the team, man, are you willing to roll the dice that this is going to continue to be the case? We got the story from when he was in college. For those of you that missed the story, I'll read it to you. The story from when Rashee Rice is on college, per multiple sources, multiple teams learned that during the pre-draft process that there was an alleged incident involving Rashee Rice while he was in college. Rashee Rice believed that a former basketball player was seeing his girlfriend. Rice and some of his friends, per this information, they went to a basketball game, and whether it was Rice or somebody in his crew, per the specific information gathered by at least one of the teams, fired multiple bullets into an empty car belonging to this player. I mean, it ain't been that long ago that Rashee Rice was drafted in the National Football League. It has been nothing but story that you have been attached to when it comes to Rashee Rice. I mean, he got drafted in 2023. So let's say this happened in 2022. I mean, we're talking about basically every year there has been a serious off-the-field character issue that has been attached to this player. So I don't know what's going to happen. I have absolutely no clue what's going to happen with Rashee Rice. You don't know what's going to happen with Rashee Rice. I have no clue, and I'm fine with sitting back and letting it happen. This is not me saying today the Chiefs got to come out and make some hard stance. They got nothing but time before they have to make this decision. But the fact that the Chiefs have all of these other things that they got to deal with, we should be talking about whether or not Travis Kelce is coming back. Or if Travis Kelce is not coming back, how do you replace that? We should be talking about them at running back. Right now, they only got one running back on their whole roster. Pacheco is a free agent. Hunt's a free agent. Elijah Mitchell is a free agent. They got one running back on their roster. They need to go find a defensive lineman. They got a top 10 pick. Like, the Chiefs have so... Their quarterback has a torn ACL and looks like Bionic Commando with this big brace on his leg. The Chiefs got enough stuff to deal with. This is not something that we should be talking about with the Kansas City Chiefs. You're heading into a career contract defining season. And all we've talked about is drag racing, your mom was a porch pirate, just doing all of these things that just makes you wonder if the juice is worth the squeeze. Let's talk about the football side of this, because this is not me passing judgment. This is where we could be possibly sitting. Right now, the Chiefs could be staring at, it's possible, in the next 60 days, the Chiefs have to find a starting running back and completely rebuild their running back room. The Chiefs could be losing their Hall of Fame tight end, who, since the Tyreek Hill departure, has been their leading receiver. And they also could be in a situation in which they have to replace their best wide receiver they've had also since Tyreek Hill. In addition to all the other things that I named they got to do, man, they got a laundry list of things that the Chiefs got to be able to figure out with only 6 picks and us still trying to figure out exactly how much cap space they are going to have available. So we already knew that this was going to be a super important offseason with a lot of decisions and things that they got to do. We already knew that going into it. man, it's even more so the case now that you just add another crisis that the Chiefs have to figure out.
Here's the thing. We talked about this earlier, and you hadn't seen it written, and that's fine. But on social media, someone succinctly said it. If the Rashee Rice situation ends with him not being on the Chiefs' upcoming season, the Chiefs will go into 2026 needing potentially wide receiver one, probably tight end one. Now they can re-sign their tight end, but he's considering retirement, so tight end one. Me and you both agree, despite my hate of the position, they need running back one, and they do not have an offensive coordinator right now. Matt Nagy is not under contract, so we can talk later in the 5 o'clock hour about Nathan Shieldhouse. We can talk about this, that, and the other. They don't have an offensive coordinator right now. That's a big list of needs potentially heading into the offseason.
100%.
Like, for a grocery analogy, it's not like, hey, I need you to run the store and grab a quick thing of milk and eggs. You got to go there. You got to get a lot of meat. You got to get a lot of the expensive items.
They got big ticket items.
And we haven't even mentioned the fact they need an edge rusher. Like,
for sure.
Their pass rush was bad last year, and they're going into a year where they won't have Jalen Watson. They need a corner, another expensive position. Like, they have a lot of needs. So, it is January. The offseason hasn't even technically started yet because real NFL football is played in 48 hours. But the Chiefs' offseason, I think, will change or have to recalibrate our expectations for the team, because if you are having to address all those needs in a salary cap league, you just can't. You have to kind of triage and pick what you want. So I don't know that we're going into 2026, as it currently sits, being like, the Chiefs' expectation, yet again, is Super Bowl or bust. I think going into 2026, and you said earlier on the show, and I echo this, their expectation needs to be, can they be a playoff team? Which is not the situation I thought we'd be sitting in with the Kansas City Chiefs at any point in the Patrick Mahomes era.
Someone on the text line says, text line 913-586-7965, C-Dot, can the NFL punish Rashee Rice without any legal action being taken against him? No, they are not going to suspend Rashee Rice. Now, they could put him on the...
I don't know that. Maybe me and you disagree. If he is twice found conduct detrimental to the league, they can suspend him without legal action.
I hear what you're saying, but I think the difference is they waited until he was charged with something to then do it. It is important to note in this, right now, it is an accusation, a very serious accusation, but Rashee Rice has not been charged with anything. There's no police report. There's not any of that with Rashee Rice. Now, could he go on the commissioner's list this summer where he's just not showing up to OTAs, not showing up to any of those things while they resolve this thing and figure it out? Sure. But at least with the information we have right now, there is no scenario in today's NFL with Roger Goodell that they are suspending Rashee Rice solely based off of what we have right now regarding him. So I think that is very, very important to note. All right, Rob, let's do this. Let's shout out to Baker University, which I learned in the last 20 minutes. There probably is an airport right next to Baker University. There are airports just everywhere around the metro area. And let's also give our picks for tonight in college football.
Your workday is over.
Oh, yeah.
You're headed home, and now you're stuck in traffic. Time to get caught up on the biggest stories in Kansas City and around the country with CDOT and Rob. It's time for the hits. Number one.
Carrington, as always, hits are brought to you by Baker University. Make your next era orange at Baker University, the first university in Kansas and ranked number one in return on investment among private universities in the state. Baker University forever in our orange era.
All right, this is what we'll do. We'll play the Nate Taylor cuts here coming up in a bit, but I do want to give out our official picks when it comes to college football. The college football playoff is back today. I don't know about you guys, but I'm very much fired up for these matchups that we have in college football. We have Miami going up against Ole Miss. That game is going to kick off at 6:30 Central. I guess before I even move forward in this, why can't all important sporting events start at this time? Why do we start these games at like 8 p.m. Central? What's wrong with 6:30? We got 6:30 tonight. We got 6:30 coming up tomorrow night for the Oregon and Indiana. We need to start starting more games at 6:30 Central, 7 o'clock Central. Why do some of these games start at 8:28 Central? Why are we doing this? This is perfect. This college football game can be over by 10 o'clock. You can be probably earlier than that. You can be in bed, sleep, 10 o'clock, and watch a college football playoff game. This is great. Good job, college football. I think Ole Miss is winning tonight. I think Ole Miss is winning. I think Ole Miss... Now, I put myself in this situation with Ohio State. I think Ole Miss is a more talented version of Miami. I think they're better at quarterback. I think they're better at running back. I think they have better skill position players. I think they are a more dynamic, more explosive team, better coach. I think Ole Miss is a better team than Miami. But Miami's chance of winning this game is just by being incredibly disruptive up front. They did that against Texas A&M. They did that against Ohio State. And even though I think Ohio State, I don't think Texas A&M is, I think Ohio State is a better football team than them. And it doesn't matter. If you get constant pressure on the quarterback and you take away basically everybody that wasn't Jeremiah Smith, it's just going to be a very, very long day. I think the Chambliss is a little bit better equipped to kind of handle these things and escape it than Julian Sayin is. And I think that ends up giving the edge. I'm taking Mississippi today.
I am happy that me and you are on different sides today.
Let's do it.
I think Miami's going to win today. And maybe I'm just overreacting to the two games I've seen, but against teams that I thought all season were better and more talented than Miami. I think Ohio State is more talented than Miami. I still think that. I thought going into the game, Texas A&M was more talented than Miami. I saw Reuben Bain and a defensive line dominate both those games. That game at Kyle Field, Aggie fans were shocked. They scored, what, 7 points, 10 points? It's crazy what you saw in College Station. And Ohio State had been thumping everyone. They've been putting it on people. And suddenly that offense got stuck in the mud because of Miami's defensive line. This is no disrespect to Trinidad Chambliss or Quan Lacy or the people on that Ole Miss offense. I think if you went position by position, almost everyone in the Ohio State offense is more talented than the Ole Miss offense, and Miami just shut them down. So I think tonight they are going to shut down Ole Miss, and I think they are going to play a version of football that is not aesthetically pleasing, and one I kind of low-key hate. They're going to run the ball with Mark Fletcher. They're going to control time possession. They're going to beat you up at the line of scrimmage. They're going to make enough plays with Malachi Toney, and they're going to win like 28-17 over Ole Miss tonight.
This is an important question, and we'll move on from this and get back to talking Chiefs. Can you win this tournament with the worst quarterback? Because right now, we're down to a four-team playoff.
That's
and if
true.
You were making a power ranking, Miami has the worst quarterback of all of them. Now, it's different in college than it is in the National mm-hmm. Football League. And you're right with Fletcher. They run the football. Like, they run the football, and they got a dominant defensive line. That gives you a chance. Can you win this with the worst quarterback? Because at some point, you're going to need Mendoza to make a play. He's shown you he can do that. We think Dante Moore could be the second overall pick in the draft. We look at Cham. Like, Chambliss looks like he can be a first-round pick. He was special against Georgia. Do you think you can win this with the worst quarterback?
So, yes, and here's why. I think he's the worst quarterback of the four, but I don't think he's a bad quarterback, if that makes sense. It's not like he's – I'm trying to think of a quarterback who was in the tournament this year at one of the major schools. I think Carson Beck is better because of health and everything than John Mateer was this year. I think Carson Beck is better than – Marcel Reed was this year. I think Carson Beck is a good college football quarterback. Do I think he's dynamic? Do I think he's the best player on the team? No. But I don't think he's just some, you know, Trent Dilfer type. I think he can make more plays than that. I think he's enough to win a championship in college. I think he's the worst of the four, but I don't think he's some scrub, if that makes sense.
I want to play a couple of audio cuts for you guys. Let's play the first one. We'll get back to the top story. Nate Taylor was on the morning show earlier today. Here he is with the latest on Rashee Rice.
I want to make it very clear to the audience that, like, there's been no police report filed for domestic abuse, whether that's in Dallas, Texas, which I believe is where she lives now, and obviously in Kansas, which is where she lived over the past, you know, couple of seasons. It's really grim. Football obviously takes a third, fourth step back to all of this, but if the allegations are true, if there's evidence to corroborate what she said, then it spells doom for Rashee Rice's football career, in my opinion. And so we'll just keep on it in terms of the reporting and see if she comes forward with a police report. That is yet to happen, but you know, it's just, domestic violence is terrible. We all know this. It's horrific. The damage it does to the victims, the fact that there are two children involved, basic tragic in a lot of ways. So just honestly terrible based on the appearance of it. Now we're just going to try to see, and I know the NFL is involved. The Chiefs are aware of this. We should probably make that clear too. Mm-hmm. You know, they're probably trying to gather as much research or as much information and evidence as we can, or the public will hopefully be interested in demanding as this moves forward.
So that is Nate Taylor with the latest on it. There are, I think, two very important things to note. The first thing is, how willing is this person to cooperate with the NFL's investigation? We know enough about the NFL. If you post this on Instagram, you want people to know. It is social media. You know it's going to pick up traction. You are accusing an NFL player of physically assaulting you. You know that people are going to pick this up. At some point, the NFL is going to send you a text. At some point, they're going to call you. They're going to try to reach out to you to find out more about it. How willing is this person in moving forward in an investigation? Now, I know that it is very, very different, and we didn't really get a whole lot of news. But if you remember the last offseason, Xavier Worthy found himself in a situation with the young woman. He said this happened. She said this happened. They both had pictures. They both of them were going back and forth. Now, I don't say this to sound callous, but if you remember what happened, the reason it went away is Xavier Worthy paid her. They released a joint statement saying they were done messing with each other, and that was the end of it. That was the end of it. Xavier Worthy gave her some money. She stopped talking about it. She stopped tweeting about it. Nothing happened of the story, and it went away. And they agreed to, we're done talking to each other. There's a chance that this happens in the Rashee Rice situation. Like, there is a chance that nothing happens with this Rashee Rice situation. That she says, I don't want to cooperate with the NFL. There's no police report. There's no anything. And this story just goes away. There's a chance. That's why I'm not here saying, oh, they got to cut this guy. They got to do those things. Like, I don't know how this is going to play itself out. I think we got to sit back. We got to wait to see, like, how does she want to play this? How does she want this thing to move forward? I think is very, very important to note in all of this. One more cut I want to play for you guys from Nate Taylor. The Chiefs are making changes. Right now, the Chiefs technically don't have an offensive coordinator. Right now, they have decided to let go their wide receiver coach. Here is Nate Taylor on Connor Embry.
From the day they traded Tyreek Hill away, they have yet to have a 1,000-yard receiver. And again, given the amount of, like, hey, Marquez Valdez-Scantling, you know, Sky Moore, you know, these are all players that were under Connor Embry's responsibilities and duties, and none of those players really got markedly better. And that obviously includes Rashee Rice and Xavier Worthy, when we know they are very talented on the football field. If you can get a, you know, more qualified, dedicated, you know, I want to say, like, who can provide more accountability, but honestly, like, just more solutions to what you can see on the field, that wide receivers coach can do a marketably, you know, sizable, seismic improvement for this pass catching group. Because one of the things that whoever that next coach is going to have to say, you know, this is what your quarterback prefers. Like, this is where the sideline is, Xavier Worthy. Hey, this is what teams are going to present to you if Rashee Rice is on the field next season. And whoever they draft, like, I still think, hey, you know, we didn't learn a ton about Jalen Royals, but I still think the Chiefs will probably draft a receiver, would be my guess, at some point, maybe the mid rounds in the draft. Hey, whoever that player is, like, you got to give them solutions. You got to give them ways to improve immediately. And it's understandable that, you know, for as much as people were clamoring, I know the receivers themselves were frustrated with, you know, their own position coach.
The text line was saying earlier that I was being mean to Connor Embry, and it's a cold world. It's a cold business. I'm not even mad at Connor Embry, honestly. I think that Connor Embry was underqualified for his job, and I think he got that job because of who his father is. I'm not saying that to be mean to the individual. I think we all know somebody like this that is not qualified for a job, but they got that job because of connections. Connor Embry was a very average college football player who started off as an offensive coordinator in college, and in less than a decade ended up as a wide receiver coach in the National Football League. He went from Blue Valley West as the OC. He then went to be a graduate assistant at Kansas, which is moving up the list. He then went back down to college to be a wide receiver coach. And then he went from being a wide receiver coach to being on the staff for the Kansas City Chiefs. So you guys got to tell me how somebody with really no qualifications just ended up in the National Football League after really no experience. He popped up in Kansas City. Now, he worked his way up. He was an assistant. Then he became a quality control coach. And then they looked out for him and they gave him the wide receiver coaching job. A lot of people get their job that way. He's just not equipped to help them in the ways that I think they need help right now. They need help turning around Xavier Worthy's career. They need help turning around Rashee Rice's career. I am not surprised that Connor Embry was not equipped to be able to help them. So I got nothing but positive energy and good vibes for Connor Embry. I'm sure he has made great connections, and maybe he continues to work in football. He just couldn't continue to be the wide receiver coach for the Kansas City Chiefs. Coming up on the other side, the Royal Stadium continues to be in the news. We'll talk about it. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your home for Kansas City sports, 96.5 The Fan.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven. Fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Welcome back to the show. I want to play a piece of audio for you guys. Now, this is Dan Hawkins. Dan Hawkins is the state of Kansas. He is the Kansas Speaker of the House. Now, Dan Hawkins, he's been kind of feeling himself for the last, week or so. And I get it. If you are a Kansas politician, you brought the Kansas City Chiefs to the state of Kansas. You get to pop a wheelie a little bit. Like, you get to walk around with a little extra pep in your step. I completely get it. Dan Hawkins is now, he's been talking like he's Suge Knight when it comes to the Kansas City Royals. We don't want them. Okay, all right, let's calm down a little bit, Dan Hawkins. I want to play for you what he had to say. So, the Star Bonds had a deadline in Kansas on December 31st. We are now past December 31st. The Royals have not made a decision about what they want to do. The Chiefs did, but the Royals have not made a decision about what they want to do. Dan Hawkins, well, he said this about it.
The Royals and the Chiefs both had plenty of time. They had 18 months to come up with a good plan. The Chiefs did that. The Royals did not.
So you've closed the book on the Royals.
As far as I'm concerned, that's a done deal.
Did they reach out after New Year's Eve?
They had their lobbyists reach out and ask if there was any wiggle room, and I reemphasized December 31 was the date. You didn't make it, so we're moving on.
Okay. All right, Dan. Told you guys this yesterday. Once Kansas gets the Chiefs, they are going to be the smallest state in the union with the professional sports team. There is no world in which a professional baseball team wants to move to the state of Kansas and Kansas is in a position to say, no, we're good. Your time's run out. Come on now. So let's just go ahead and get that out of here. I think this is posturing from Kansas. I also think this is posturing by North Kansas City, because correct me if I'm wrong, he's the Clay County commissioner. He's one of their commissioners, right?
He's one of seven, I believe.
But he has by far and away been the most vocal one over the last 18 months about where the stadium could potentially be. So he comes out and says today that Clay County is even done talking to the Kansas City Royals. Now, I think there's a lot of different ways you can take this. You can form your own conclusions. This is how I hear these words. I think the Royals, over the last 14 days, now that everything is happening, I think they're starting to feel more of the love from Jackson County. I think they're starting to get the attention from the one that they actually want to be with. You know, I think they were somebody who got a little bit neglected and they were now entertaining these other people. But in the end, they really just want to be with downtown Kansas City. And maybe Kansas City was too focused on the Chiefs and wanting to renovate Arrowhead. And then, hey, we'll get to you guys. We'll put you on the back burner. But now I think that the Kansas City Royals have Kansas City, Missouri's full undivided attention. And now they've noticed that the Royals are now getting flowers. They're getting phone calls. They're getting good morning texts from the person that they actually want to be with. And now I think Kansas, who has been doing everything they can to get the Royals, are like, wait, hold on. And it's important to note, Kansas, if they don't get the Royals, they still leave with something super valuable. They leave with an NFL team. An NFL team is moving to the state of Kansas. So if they don't get the Royals, it's not a loss by any means. It's not a loss. It's a tremendous win for the state of Kansas. North Kansas City is just a different conversation. North Kansas City has been waiting our entire lives for an opportunity like this. Rob, you're a Kansas City resident. What would make you leave from where you live in the suburbs of Kansas? What would make you drive down to North Kansas City? How often do you drive to North Kansas City? Once, maybe twice a year? There's not much of a reason for you to go over there. This would be the reason. You would go over there 6 to 8 times a year and go to their bars and restaurants and learn more about it. People would move to the Northland to be closer to the stadium. I'm sure they'll build some cool condos and apartments. North Kansas has been waiting our whole lives to get this opportunity. There's no world in which I think the Royals want to move to North Kansas City and they're like, nah, we're good. We're all right. It's the biggest tourism you could have for that part of the city. So what I think is happening, and maybe this is my Missouri brain and where I want the stadium to be, I think the Royals have focused in on what their vision is. I think the Chiefs always had a vision. I don't think the Chiefs ever wanted to be in Kansas City, Missouri. I don't think they ever were going to go back to Arrowhead. There were two things they said we should have known that this was the case. One, Mark Donovan came out and said, we think we've made as much money as we can from the Truman Sports Complex. We should have known right then and there they weren't staying. We also should have known when Mark Donovan came out and said that there was no economic development around the Truman Sports Complex. We should have known right then and there they weren't staying. The Royals have told you from day, the Royals have never told you they want to be in Kansas. They have bought land over there, but they have never come out and said this is where they've come out and said they want to be in downtown Kansas City. They've said it. So now I think that the city's on board, the county's on board. We now got more money. We don't got to split it between the Chiefs and the Royals. I think the Royals are finally getting the attention that they've always wanted, and they are coming up with new ideas and new plans to try to make it work. And I firmly believe, more than I have at any point in this process, I firmly believe that the Chiefs will stay in, or the Royals, excuse me, that the Royals will stay in Missouri and they will be somewhere near downtown Kansas City. Maybe not at Washington Square Park, maybe not in the Crossroads, maybe they end up in the East Village like we always talked about, maybe they end up at 18th and Vine, which isn't downtown, but it's right next to downtown. I believe that the Royals will be somewhere in that 8-mile radius. I do believe the Royals are going to be in Missouri.
I believe the Royals will be downtown. I think the Royals have always wanted downtown. I think they wanted East Village. They got told no. And we now know based on reporting, we've had Dave Helling on the show. We've had multiple on the show who basically have told us East Village died the first time because the city was trying to protect Power and Light. They then put out that, I don't want to say it was a great plan with Crossroads. It kind of seemed a little bit rushed and half-cocked, but then the vote failed. I still think that's where the Royals envision themselves. I just feel like they hit roadblocks, they hit political maneuverings, they dealt with people I don't think they liked on the Jackson County side, and I think that's when they started opening themselves up to other possibilities. But when John Sherman spoke to Annie Rogers in Surprise, Arizona, he didn't say, you know, when I envision Kansas City Royals baseball, I envision it downtown. And by that, I mean 119th and all. He said downtown. No one would confuse 119th and all with downtown. They're just very different energies. So I think I agree with you. That's where they end up. And I wonder if what Dan Hawkins said in that clip was, you know, they asked about wiggle room and we said no. And now like one of the Clay County commissioners is saying, we're done too. I wonder if the feeling me and you get that the Royals want to be downtown is starting to permeate into their contingency plans. I think 119th and all is a contingency plan. I think Clay County is a contingency plan. If we don't get what we want from Jackson County and the city and our location, we have these other options. They were trying to get leverage. But now, their ultimate leverage play isn't North KC. It isn't 119th and all. You know what their leverage play is? Hey, you lost the Chiefs. You need us. We're all that's left is now their leverage play. And I think they don't need to worry about their contingency plans and how those places feel about the Royals because they now have the leverage over the city and the county that they didn't have 2 weeks ago. So it makes sense that Dan Hawkins says, nope, we're out. And the North KC people say, nope, we're out. I think they knew they were out, and they just found out that they were contingency plans.
This is their fallback option. This is when your kid sends the college application to Princeton. But if they don't go to Princeton, they'll go to Kansas. They'll go to K-State. There's nothing wrong with those colleges. Great universities. But that's not where they want to go to school. That's not where they want to go to school. Someone on the text line asks, CDOT, is there a world where the Royals could move away if everyone isn't giving them what they want? Now, I've obviously not seen the contract, but it is my understanding that Sherman cannot move the team and that one of the conditions to him buying the team is an agreement that he would not move the team. Now, I don't know how many years that is. Maybe that's contingent on, well, we tried to get something passed in 2-3 years and it didn't end up passing. I don't know all the particulars of the contract, but it is my understanding that he cannot move the team. That part of the reason that David Glass sold it to somebody from Kansas City is that they would keep the team in Kansas City. So I think that is a major reason why you have never really heard the Royals attached to any outside. And they just have too many local people attached to it. I mean, Eric Stonestreet's a part owner. Patrick Mahomes is a part owner. Those people are not taking their money and moving it. No. So I don't think the Royals moving is a realistic option. Now, I do think this is a part of it. Are the Royals happy getting a brand new stadium, or do they need the stadium and the entertainment district? Because if they need the stadium and the entertainment district, I do not think that can be in Kansas City, Missouri. If they're just happy getting a brand new stadium that's in downtown Kansas City with a cool skyline and you can see, I firmly believe that that will happen or can happen. I don't think that they can get the brand new stadium that they want and the ballpark village in downtown Kansas City, Missouri. The space of it, power and light causes its own complications. So I think it really is. Are the Royals willing to concede some part of their dream to make sure that they can have a downtown stadium? We got a college football playoff game coming up later today. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your home for Chiefs football. 96.5 The Fan.
When you think about meal kit companies, what do you see? Probably long, complicated recipes and subscriptions you can't escape. But with the new Blue Apron, we're doing meal delivery differently. No subscription needed. Faster, easier meals. And the same dedication to quality we've always had. Shop 100 plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
I feel like this has been a show of apologies. I apologize for how I handled the Rashee Rice thing at the top of the 5 o'clock hour yesterday. I could have handled it more smoothly, and I didn't, and that's on me. Now, you know, we talk movies on this show. We talk food on this show, fun. You know, we try to mix it up for you guys. I have thought that you guys have overrated Q39. And Q39 is good. Don't get me wrong. But a lot of you might put Q39 as your number one. A lot of you might put Q39 as the best barbecue restaurant in the city. And I thought you was lying. I called it Oregon. We got four staples in this city. Gates, Jack Stack, Joe's, Arthur Bryant's, those are our staples. And there's been some other ones that pop up. Everybody's like, oh, what about Slaps? I love Slaps. I went to high school with the owner of Slaps. Shout out to my guy, Joe Pierce. It's my guy. So I love Slaps. My guy over at Harp's Barbecue, Buck Tui. Had so many great places in the city. I thought you guys were doing a lot with Q39. So yesterday, I know I'm going to be kind of busy for the next 4 or 5 days. We got playoff games for each of the next 5 days. I got to be locked in. I got to watch these games. So it wasn't a whole lot of going out and doing all this stuff. Like, hey, let me kind of have my fun at the beginning of the week. Went to the KU game on Tuesday. Yesterday, went out to eat. Just kind of didn't spend a lot of time on the phone yesterday. Didn't spend a lot of time doing other stuff. I just kind of want to chill, want to have a good night, because these next couple of days, I got to be locked in. We got playoff football. I got a gift card to go to Q39. I was like, oh, you know, let me go, you know. It was like $100. I'll go. All right, I'll go. I went there yesterday. I got the half slab of ribs, and I got a little bit of the pulled pork, a little bit of the brisket, and a little bit of the burnt ends. And let me tell you, man, Yo, that food was fire. And that food, Rob, that food was good. It was really good. It was good. It's not my favorite barbecue, but I do feel like over the years, I've been a little hard on Q39. And that was only the second time I've eaten there. I ate there one time. I think I got a sandwich the first time I went there. I actually went there with Matt Verderam when he was in town. We went there and we ate there. And I had it like catered a couple of times, like here at work. But I mean, like sat down, went to the restaurant, tried a lot of the different foods. Hey, man, I'm going to tell you, I get it. I understand. It was good. It ain't my favorite, but I'm here telling you, I understand why you guys feel the way you feel about Q39, because the barbecue that I had yesterday, man, that food was amazing. I didn't even eat the whole thing of ribs. I took a couple of them home for leftovers, and I had a couple of ribs today for breakfast. They taste even better today when they're in the microwave than they did yesterday. Now, I wasn't a huge fan of the sides. I thought the sides left a lot to be desired, but, I mean, I just don't really like barbecue sides. I don't think barbecue has many great sides. But, yeah, man, I'm here telling you, man, that food was good yesterday, bro.
This is not the point of your story, and we'll get back to Q39 in a minute. Man, you were on an all-time get hooked up with stuff week. You had a gift card to Q39 and a free ticket hookup for KUTCU this week?
Yeah.
Someone's been looking out for you. That's a nice week of I am who I am energy.
Well, you know, you got to look out for people. They look out for you. That's that simple. You know, I talk about the ticket fairy, but I take care of the ticket fairy, too. That's why the ticket fairy blesses me. You got to look out from time to time.
Now, back to the Q39.
I'm telling you, that food was, it was fire. I'm telling you, that food was good.
Judging a barbecue place by their catering, I think, is a horrible metric.
Yeah, and I was wrong.
And I, this is not an insult to the catering. I think a lot of the barbecue places in town do a good job catering. They just do a better job when you order for yourself versus the catering. Like, Jack Stack, I think, is incredible. I think Jack Stack is better when you're in the restaurant being like, I want blank versus getting, you know, a bunch of carry out, here's a bunch of meat, figure it out orders. I think barbecue, while good carry out, is clearly superior in a one-on-one setting. It's better man-to-man than zone. That's how I would phrase it.
Man, I'm here telling you, that food was amazing, bro. Somebody said ribs for breakfast is crazy, bro. If you had the ribs that I had, I was going to eat oatmeal in the morning. Nah, bro. I had some more ribs in there. I put them bad boys in the refrigerator. I ate them ribs for breakfast. They were phenomenal. Somebody said, C-Dot, your hometown Lawrence is getting a Q39. See, this is what I mean, bro. I try to share some stories with you guys.
It's right near the burger bar you like.
Do like that burger bar.
Everything's
like
starting to come together for Carrington to come to JoCo.
Like that place. I do really like the burger bar. That's where they're putting it right there.
It's like a block and a half away from there. So you could park one place and walk to both. Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
It's like they knew you're a frequenter.
Yeah, no, I do. I do like that place. I will say, like, if I'm going to Mass and it's like, let's say the KU plays at 8 and then, you know, we leave straight from the station. We get off at 6, get to Lawrence, I don't know, 6:35 probably. More times than not, I'm going to the burger bar. I do. Like, I don't know what it is. That food is good. I really like that place. Shout out to the burger bar.
It makes me laugh. There was once, I think it was one of the Mizzou games. Text you, hey, I know you're in Lawrence. You want to come by? I'm at this bar. You're like, no, I'm at the burger bar.
I'm at the burger bar. Yeah, I'm at the burger bar.
I'm like, the game's not for there too. You're like, nah, I got my spot. I'm good.
Yeah, 100%. Someone said, are you talking about burgers by Biggs? No, that's not what I'm talking about. It's called, the Casbah?
Casbah, the burger stand at the Casbah, yeah.
Yeah, that's the one that I go to. I don't know the name of the, I just call it the burger bar. That's all I know. It's the burger bar. I didn't know the name of it. But yeah, that's the one that I go to. The what's it called? The Casbah?
It's the burger, it's the, oh, now I it's, the Casbah is the name of the building.
Okay.
The actual restaurant is Burger Stand.
All right, yeah. I normally go there. If that place isn't open, I go to Papa Kino's. I like Papa Kino's. Like, I'm not really, like, I'm not sitting down to eat in Lawrence. I kind of want something to kind of, you know, kind of in and out, you know. Like, I'm only really there for a sporting event. Like, I'm not really there. Like, I'm not hanging. I'm not doing a Sunday fun day in Lawrence, Kansas, where I'm just vibing and catching the scenery there. I'm either there for a football game or a basketball game, and I'm going home immediately afterwards. I wouldn't say immediately because I kind of do like
Sandbar. You're starting to check a lot of the Lawrence boxes, yeah, buddy.
I do. I have been to Sandbar. What was it, Shark Bar, a Sam Bar? I don't know. I have been there before. Maybe these allegations are true. Now that I'm thinking about it, maybe these allegations are true. Who have I become? I've spent a lot of time in Lawrence. Now in hindsight, what's that one place, Logie's? I had a drink there after the football game. Like, maybe, yeah, I don't know. Maybe I'm Lawrence Dye. This is real sad work. I'm starting to understand why Eli Drinkwitz doesn't like coming on this show and why he doesn't like me. It's all starting to make sense now. It's The Drive.